Some of you don't know me, my name is Wendy and I work part-time here at the King's Arms. And I've been asked to talk this morning on the topic of, is God closer than we think? And the very easy answer to that is, yes, he is. But I figured I should probably elaborate on that a little bit for you guys. So we've just heard some stories of how people have been encountered by Jesus and things have changed in their life. They've been healed. And this morning, I want to look at a guy in the Bible who has an incredible encounter with Jesus. And his life is completely different. He's completely transformed. And my hope that as I share this passage this morning is that those of you who've never encountered Jesus, and you would say you don't have a relationship with him at the moment, my hope is that you would start out today on that relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to give you guys an opportunity, if you're not a Christian here this morning, to give your life to Jesus at the end of the meeting. And for those of you who have encountered Jesus and you do have a relationship with him, my hope for you is that you will simply hunger after more and more of God, because I really believe that what we're seeing at the moment is just a teeny weeny bit of what God is going to give to us. And so let's turn together to Luke chapter 19. If you've got your Bibles, if not, it should come up on the screen. And we're going to read together verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he ran ahead. He could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Let's just pray quickly together. Father, I want to thank you so much for the fact that you're here and that you're already working. I pray, God, even as I'm speaking, you'd be healing people. I ask you for that, Father, and I know that your power is still working. People don't have to be prayed for to be healed. So we pray for your healing power to keep working as I'm speaking. Pray you'd soften our hearts to receive everything that you've got for us, Father. Pray that you'd speak really clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to pick out 3 points from this passage. And the first point is this, that Jesus came for the lost. Now, I'm sure that most of us from one time or another have experienced being lost. And I know it's not really a very fun experience, especially if you're driving to try and find a new place. And I remember times as a kid, we would take family outings on holiday, and my mum would be official map reader, and my dad would be driving. I don't know if that's the same as in your family, but my mum was the map reader, my dad would drive. And on more than one occasion, there was heated debate on the front seats as my dad takes a wrong turning and then blows up at my mum and says, "How could you possibly take me this way? You've got the map in front of you." And sometimes we'd get really lost. And my mum, because she's quite clever, would say, "Why don't we stop and ask somebody how to get out of this mess?" And I used to sit there thinking, gosh, that's a really good idea. But interestingly, my dad wouldn't have any of it. He would flatly refuse, because apparently he really knew where we were. It's just that he was taking us the scenic route. Can anyone relate to my experience? Surely not you guys in here, but it's interesting. Gosh, I hope my dad doesn't listen to this. In the passage we've just read, Zacchaeus was lost. He wasn't lost physically, but in a spiritual sense, he was lost. He was a chief tax collector, which meant that actually he would have been hated and despised by the people. He would have been well known in the area for being corrupt and greedy and a liar and a cheat. He was a master at being selfish, and he didn't care who he trampled on to get what he wanted. Zacchaeus was the last person that people expected Jesus to go to and to ask if he could spend time with him. And yet, as Jesus was passing through that town, his mind was focused on getting time with that one man. Now, we know from what we've read that there was a huge crowd around Jesus, and I can imagine that they were all kind of competing for his attention. I can imagine there were sick people wanting to get close to him so that he would heal them, and people who were spiritually oppressed wanting to get close to him so that he would set them free, and just people who just generally wanted to get close to Jesus. And yet, in all the midst of all this commotion, Jesus makes a beeline for Zacchaeus and says that he wants to actually withdraw from the crowd to spend time with him. You see, Jesus came for the lost. And you know, just over 10 years ago, before I became a Christian, I was spiritually lost too. And if someone had come to me and said, "Wendy, you're spiritually lost," I probably wouldn't have agreed with them because I didn't feel particularly lost. I had a pretty good life. I had good friends, a loving family, and I was never in need of anything. But you know what? There were still times when I felt that inside there was something missing. There was like this emptiness in me, as if I wasn't really complete. And maybe some of you here can relate to that experience. You see, that the Bible says that we've all been created to be in a relationship with Jesus. And when we're not in that relationship, it's like something is missing. Something is incomplete. We're spiritually lost. And you see, God longs to have a relationship with each one of us. But unfortunately, we have turned our back on him and decided, actually, we don't want that relationship. And we've decided to live life our own way, for our own needs, putting our own agendas above everybody else. Like Zacchaeus, we're masters at being selfish. And the Bible calls this selfishness sin. And what sin does is it places a barrier between us and God. And I know for me, for many years, I've struggled with jealousy when I've heard people say that they've prayed for the sick and seen amazing stuff happen. And the reason for that is because I've had several significant promises over my life that I'm going to see incredible miracles and lots of people come to know Jesus. I'm going to travel around the world and see all this stuff happen. And I've been praying for the sick for just about, on and off, 10 years now. And I've seen little bits and pieces, which I'm really grateful for. But do you know what? I'm not seeing anything like I want to see. And when I hear stories of other people seeing these amazing breakthroughs, everything in me is like, why not me? Why not me? God, I'm so jealous and I'm so selfish and I want it to be for me and I want to be the one that's seeing it. And there's this jealousy that rises up in me. And what that does is it actually separates me and it causes a barrier between me and God. It puts something in the way of our relationship. And just recently, actually, I've started to realize that God has been speaking to me about the importance of celebrating what anyone is seeing and celebrating just God breaking through. And it's like I don't mind really who gets the breakthrough. I just want to see the breakthrough. Do you know what I mean? And it's a complete shift of mindset. And as I've apologized to God and repented for the jealousy and the pride and the selfishness, and as I've celebrated with other people when they see success, it's like the barrier has been removed and the relationship I have with God now is so much closer. It's so much closer than it was. You see, the amazing thing about God is that he doesn't want to leave us with these barriers in the way. In actual fact, he wants us to know him really, really close. God's incredible love for us compelled him to do something about the barriers that we've put in the way. And what he did was he sent his son Jesus to rescue us from our situation. And so when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he took on himself all of our sin and all of our mucky stuff. And when he died and rose again, he dealt with all the barriers that we've put up that separate us from our Father. Jesus makes it possible for us to be forgiven and to come into the relationship with God that we've been created for. And when we come into that relationship, do you know what? The most incredible exchange takes place. Instead of punishment, we get forgiveness. Instead of despair, we can know hope. Instead of depression, we can have fullness of joy. Instead of fear, we can receive faith. Instead of anxiety, we can know a deep peace. And instead of death, we receive life in all its fullness. It's the most incredible exchange. You see, Jesus is here today and he's searching for those who are separated from God to draw them in really close, because he came for the lost. The second thing I want to draw out of this passage is that when we encounter Jesus, everything changes. We know that Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. He picked Zacchaeus out of the crowd and spent time with him. We're not told about how long he stayed with Zacchaeus or what they talked about, whether they ate together or anything like that. But what we are told is that this hated and corrupt man went through the most remarkable transformation in his life. That after his encounter with Jesus, everything changed. So we read in verse 8 that Zacchaeus says this: "Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." That's an incredible transformation if you think about it for a minute. Zacchaeus would have been a very rich man. Giving away half of his possessions was no small thing. As I was thinking about it, I was thinking, I would struggle to give away two of my possessions, let alone half of all that I owned. And in terms of paying people back four times the amount he cheated them out of, that would have been a lot of money. Zacchaeus' whole life had been about getting money from people and cheating people for his own benefit. And suddenly he becomes the most generous guy around. Zacchaeus encounters Jesus and his life is completely turned around. Everything changes. And you know, the really exciting thing for me is it's not just people we read about in the Bible who encounter Jesus and their lives change. Actually, it happens today, still today. And it's certainly been my experience. I remember when I was first looking into Christianity, and I was in my first year at university, and I went on an Alpha course, which is an introductory course for Christianity. And part of that course is a weekend away that focuses on the Holy Spirit. It's like the day they mentioned, the Holy Spirit day that's happening. But it was a weekend in my day. And I went away for that weekend, and one section on the course, basically you're given an opportunity to become a Christian and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember looking at the Christians who are on that course and thinking, I really want what you've got. And I don't know what's going to happen when I give my life to Jesus and get filled with the Spirit, but I really want it. And so I remember standing there, my eyes closed, my hands out, not really knowing what's going to happen. And people prayed for me. And I had an incredible encounter with Jesus. What happened was I felt God's love inside me for the first time ever. And it was the most overwhelming love that I've ever known. And I spent most of my time crying because I couldn't believe that God loved me quite as much as I was feeling. And it completely changed my life. It was completely overwhelming. And, you know, after that point, I connected with God in a completely new way. It's like everything suddenly became real for me that I'd known in my head. It was now right in here, and it was the most amazing encounter. And you know, it's not just when we first become Christians either. So just recently I've had an encounter with Jesus that has significantly changed who I am and what I'm doing. So many of you will know that I went on a conference a while ago called Healings, Miracles, Signs and Wonders Today. It was an awesome conference. And I got prayed for in that conference and I encountered Jesus and it did something amazing. Basically, many of you, or some of you might know that recently God has been speaking to me about going out on the streets and praying for the sick. And, to be honest, once he spoke to me about that, I saw sick people all over the place. When I was walking through town, I was like, oh, gosh, they're sick. Oh, gosh, they've got a crutch. Oh, no. And I saw all these people, but I was hounded with fear. I would just go to them and say, oh, I could. And I'd walk past that. I can't do it. I'm so fearful. Went to this conference, got prayed for to receive boldness. And the day I got back from the conference, I went into town. Silly me. Went into town. And I saw this woman walking with a crutch. I was like, okay, this is it. This is my opportunity. So I tracked her for a bit because I was just needed to go. Am I going to do it? Anyway, she got just by Bet Debenhams, and I went up to her and I said, hey, I'm really sorry to bother you, but I obviously, you're walking with a crutch. Has anyone ever prayed for you? And she said, yes, they have actually. I'm a Christian. I was like, thank you, God. Yes. So I said, oh, great. I said, so we talked a bit about that, and we talked about her condition. And I prayed for her outside Debenhams, and it was brilliant. And there was no lightning or anything. And I don't know what's the deal with her, but I got to pray for her, which was awesome. And then later on, as I was walking further out of town, I turned into this road and saw this guy with a crutch just getting into his car. So I slowed down because I hoped that he'd drive away before I got there. But he didn't. So I walked past his car and then wrestled. I was like, God, I don't know if I can do it. He's now in his car. So I walked back past his car, pretending I lost something, kind of looking around all the time thinking, I don't know if I can do it. And then his engine started and I was like, yes, he's going to drive away. But he didn't. So I walked back up past the car. It's like, God, why isn't he driving away? And he very simply said to me, because I want you to go and speak to him. So I went round the driver's side and I knocked on the window. And he was like, I said, hello, I'm so sorry to bother you. I just noticed that you were using a crutch. And I wondered if anyone had ever prayed for you. And he said, oh, that's very kind of you, but before I retired, I was a scientist and I don't believe in that stuff, although I respect your beliefs. I said, that's totally fine. Thank you for rolling your window down anyway. And then I walked home rejoicing because actually, it was an amazing experience for me, and it was so much fun. So the encounter that I had with Jesus at that conference has done something in me. And since then, I've offered to pray for a couple of more people. And I'm out in the town regularly like, where's the sick? Where's the sick? So I have still walked past people, just so you know, but it's changed something in me, because when we encounter Jesus, stuff changes. We're going to have an opportunity for pray for people a little bit later on, because I really believe that Jesus wants to encounter people here this morning. Just before I move on to the third thing, I just want to acknowledge that for some of you here today, the whole idea of encountering Jesus raises some difficult questions. Because I know that for some of you, you've been seeking Jesus for a long time now for an encounter that will bring freedom to you from specific past hurts or healing from long-term sickness. Or you've just simply been seeking an encounter that makes you feel close to God. And as of yet, you haven't received the encounter you've been looking for. And I don't want to pretend that in this whole process there aren't disappointments. And I've been through that stuff myself. Well, at university, I suffered a lot with IBS. Very painful. 10 years later, I still have difficulties with that. Why hasn't God miraculously healed me? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It doesn't make sense to me. But what I do know is that Jesus longs to encounter people, that God longs to encounter his people. That's why he sent Jesus. And I do know that when you encounter Jesus, everything changes. And so we're going to be praying for people later on. The third and final thing that I want to get out of this passage is this. We have to get out of the tree. We have to get out of the tree. Now, when I read this and I was preparing, this was the one thing that struck me more than anything else, actually, that I hadn't ever thought of before. Zacchaeus could have stayed in the tree. Zacchaeus could have stayed in the tree. He could have chosen to reject Jesus' invitation when he came to him. He could have stayed in the tree. And I thought about this for a bit, because I think Zacchaeus must have been completely blown away that Jesus picked him out, because he was not a popular man. And maybe there was a sense of just a split second of hesitation. What's going to happen if I come out the tree? What's he going to say to me? What's going to happen? Should I risk it? Or should I stay in the safety of the branches? What he did is he came out of the tree and encountered Jesus and everything changed. And you know, we have to get out of the tree too. And some of you here this morning, you don't have a relationship with God. And you've come along because you're kind of checking out who this Jesus guy is and you've heard a bit about him. And it's like you've climbed a tree to get a glimpse of him. And this morning, Jesus is passing through and he's making a beeline for you, because he wants to spend time with you. He's coming to you and he's asking you to come down out of the tree, because he wants to encounter you. And you know, when I was first prayed for to be filled with the Spirit at this Alpha weekend, I had to come out of the tree. Because what I didn't tell you earlier was that I was petrified of being prayed for. Really was. When I was younger, I'd been visiting a church and I'd seen a woman in front of me basically fall onto the floor, an older lady. And I genuinely thought that she'd fainted or that something worse had happened. I didn't know anything about the fact that sometimes God meets with you, you fall over. that had happened with her. God had met with her, she'd fall over, she was absolutely fine. I was gobsmacked that nobody went to help her out. I couldn't get it. And it freaked me. I was like, what's going on? I didn't understand it. And so I went to that weekend away, and I didn't know what was going to happen when I asked God to come. I didn't want to fall over. I didn't want anything like that to happen. It was a risk for me to open myself up and to make myself vulnerable and to let go of the need to be in control and say, God, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but I want this stuff that I'm seeing, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to be nice and you're going to be good. And so I did it. I got out of the tree, and my life was completely transformed. Some of you are going to get out of the tree for the first time today. As I've been speaking, you know that Jesus has been doing something in your heart. You know that your life feels empty, that there's something missing. And that if what I'm saying is true, you want it. You're ready to respond to Jesus' invitation, and you're going to come into a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And I'm going to give an opportunity for that in just a minute. But others of you here came out of the tree a while ago. But over the years, through different circumstances and life experiences, you've actually unknowingly retreated back up into the tree. You've backed away from Jesus because it feels safer in the branches. And this morning, Jesus is calling you out as well. So maybe you're someone who's been asking God for a long time for healing for a particular condition, and you've just got really disappointed because you haven't seen the breakthrough you've longed for. You've taken refuge in the tree because it's so difficult to ask again after such disappointment. Well, this morning, Jesus is calling you out of the tree. Maybe for you, it's not a physical condition, but you know that you're trapped emotionally or spiritually, and you've struggled to get free for so long that it feels too risky to come and ask God again. Maybe you've believed the lie that your life is just always going to be like this. Well, Jesus says to you today that he died for you so that you could know complete freedom. Others of you may have been through some really difficult life experiences where you've been really badly hurt by people and you're holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. I was praying for someone just recently and they're working through really big issues of unforgiveness in their heart. And as I prayed for them and they started to crying and know some release from the horrible pain they were feeling, I was rejoicing inside because I was like, gosh, this person is on their way out of the tree. They're on their way back out of the tree where they've been hiding for such a long time. And what's at the bottom of the tree is an incredible encounter with Jesus. And maybe for you, there's some unforgiveness that God wants you to deal with this morning. Or lastly, maybe for you, it's to do with areas of your life where you know you've been disobedient to God, that there are areas of secret sin in your life that you've never been open or honest about with anybody. You're hiding in the branches of the tree through fear of what will happen if you're really exposed. Jesus says to you, will you come out of the tree this morning? So what is it for you? Are you lost this morning? If so, Jesus has made a beeline for you. He longs for you to know the fullness of life that comes from having a relationship with God. And Jesus is calling you out of the tree for the first time today. And those of you who've retreated into the safety of the tree as a result of life circumstances, Jesus is asking you to take a risk today to trust him again. Whatever it is for you, you can be sure that there is a life-changing encounter with Jesus waiting for you just a few branches away at the bottom of the tree. Because God is so much closer than we think. I'd like you guys to stand with me if that's okay.